Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the March 23rd, 2025 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday in Lent. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. Jesus teaches us, do to others as you would have them do to you. But who are the others? Our enemies and friends, family and strangers. Jesus teaches us, be merciful as God is merciful. But what is mercy? To act with compassion, to help without expecting anything in return. Jesus teaches us, forgive and you will be forgiven. But how do we forgive? By recognizing enemies, friends, families, strangers, and ourselves as people in need of compassion. Let us worship God who empowers us to love one another with mercy and compassion. Come, let us worship. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Scripture reading is Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, and this is from the Amplified Bible. O God, you are my God. With deepest longing I will seek you. My life, my very soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs and sighs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have gazed upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift my hands in your name. My life, my very soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. And my mouth offers praises to you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate and thoughtfully focus on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, where I am always protected, I sing for joy. My life, my very soul clings to you. your right hand upholds me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, There is a Redeemer.
Our gospel passage is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, 1 through 9. I too am reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible. As we gaze to your left, my right, you'll see the decorations today are all about blooming. Today we have a parable about pruning and blooming. Time of growth and a time of rest. We begin at verse 1 in chapter 13. Just as that time, people came to who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate, the governor, had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus replied to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, change your old way of thinking, turn from your sinful ways and live changed lives, you will all likewise perish. Or do you assume that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed were worse sinners than all others who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, unless you change your old way of thinking, unless you turn from your sinful ways, unless you live changed lives, you will all likewise perish." Then Jesus began telling them this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. This is apple, but that's okay. A certain man had a fig tree that had been planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it, but did not find any. He said to the vineyard keeper, "For 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground, depleting the soil and blocking the sunlight?" But the vine keeper replied to him, "Let it alone, sir. Just one more year. One more year, I'll dig around it and put in some fertilizer, and if it bears fruit, after this, fine. But if it does not, cut it down. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We are in relation with a God that is everything in between. And whether we think of our beginning and our end, it is our God that is everything in between the beginning of our days and the end of our days. Today's focus about this God who is everything in between is rest and growth. As this week I was studying this gospel passage, Luke 13, verses 1 through 9, I found myself thinking about the Russian war on Ukraine. Even the 6 million lives lost worldwide to COVID. I got to thinking about the suicide death of my nephew. And as I thought of these things, there were countless other tragedies that also came to mind. Not much has changed since Jesus' time. Tyrants still act. Towers still fall. Tragedy still strikes. And events like these raise the same questions now as they did then. They raise questions about God, about fairness, about mortality. They challenge my hopes and my beliefs in some very all-powerful and all-present ways, which I believe and behave that will protect me and will guard my love. These things that happen, they contradict my desire to live in a fair world where good is rewarded, where the bad are punished. They remind me that life is fragile, short, and even uncertain. And in those moments, I don't want to hear platitudes. Well, God is in control. Everything happens for a reason. Just have faith. For me, I want to know why. Don't you? Why do these things occur? I want an explanation and something that I can hold on to. If I can understand it, then maybe, just maybe, I can control it. But Jesus doesn't give us that. He doesn't answer the why. He doesn't explain Pilate's cruelty or why the Tower of Siloam fell. And maybe that's the point. Most of those tragedies, theirs and ours, aren't here to us to explain away, but to intensify the question that Jesus does answer. He doesn't answer the why questions, why these things occur, but he does answer how. How will we live in a world where towers fall and tyrants reign? How will we live love in a world where suffering comes without warning and even without fairness? How will we show up, stay soft, remain hopeful? How will we treat each other and the earth in face of uncertainty and loss? Jesus gives us one word. The word is repent. He says it twice in our passage today. Repentance is a bigger word than what we've made it to be. It's not just feeling sorry about something or behaving better. Repentance is about turning aside, turning around, turning back toward life. Jesus in this passage isn't explaining why tragedy happens. He's telling us it will. It will happen. And when it does, we face a choice: perish or repent. Stay stuck or turn. Despair or reimagine. What does reimagining look like? It looks like this. Reimagining a broken relationship. Not seeing it as a wound to carry forever, but as an opportunity for forgiveness and healing. Reimagining grief. Not as something to endure silently, but sacred ground. Sacred ground where love still speaks and life still calls to us. Reimagining failure. Not as shame, but as raw material for growth and even for wisdom. Reimagining your daily routine, not as just one more day, ordinary like all the rest, but as holy ground where kindness, where presence, not as in gift giving, but presence as in being here in the moment, presence and gratitude can take root. Reimagining powerlessness, not as defeat, but as a call to small, faithful actions that ripple outward, because we do make a difference, even in small ways. Reimagining a stranger, not as a threat or a burden, but as someone carrying a story worth hearing. Reimagining church, not as a building that we go to, but as people. People sent into the world to heal, to love, to liberate. Reimagining is asking of us, what if there's more life in this moment than I have allowed myself to see? What if God's presence is waiting just beyond the way I've always done things? What if turning aside would open a door I never knew was even there? What turning aside is waiting for you today? What needs to be reclaimed? What needs to be transformed in you so that you can live a reimagined life, a reimagined life of rest and growth? This is not God's will to do for us. It is work God has called us into. Back in the Old Testament, when there was a need for a deliverer, and Moses saw the need clearly, he had already escaped from Egypt, he pleaded to God, "Who will deliver my people, my brothers and sisters from Egypt?" God spoke to Moses and said, "I've seen the misery of my people. I have heard their cries. I know their sufferings. I've come down to deliver them." Imagine Moses, thrilled at the news of this. Oh, good. Oh, good. And who wouldn't be thrilled at that news? But then God says to Moses, "So come, I will send you." And the story of Exodus takes off on a gallop from there. And that's always how it works. God sees, God hears, God knows, and then God sends. This is our work to do. Work that calls us to repentance, reimagining, rest, and growth. But it has always been our work to do.
Next is the hymn, "In the Garden."
Still on the roses and the boys' high.
Next is the hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Verse 4 of our ascending psalm, How Great Thou Art.